This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على من بعث رحمة للعالمين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من علم لا ينفع ومن قلب لا يخشع ومن عين لا تدمع ومن نفس لا تشبع اللهم لا سهل إلا ما جعلته سهلا وأنت تجعل الحزن إذا شئت سهلا أما بعد we begin by thanking and praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We beseech him to shower his beloved messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam with compliments and salutations. We ask Allah to teach us that which benefits us and to allow us to benefit from what he has taught us. Continuing with our chapter of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's dealings with people of nobility, people of status, people of authority. We mentioned last week the lengthy narration of the companion Imam ibn Tha'laba, who came from his people, and how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam dealt with him, and how he returned back to his people as a messenger, as a da'iyah. Continuing on, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this next section is described as كَانَ يَعْتَذِرُ لَهُمْ وَيَتَحَمَّلُ مِنْهُمْ مَا يَصْدُرُ عَنْهُمْ بَلْ دَعَى إِلَى التَّجَاوُزِ عَنْ أَخْطَائِهِمْ. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we've seen the past few sections many examples of him honoring, hosting, welcoming, etc. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam even took it a step further, which is by overlooking some of their faults. So it's one thing to be nice to somebody, but then maybe if they do something that bothers you, then you get upset with them. So it's another level of kindness and mercy and good behavior that when someone does something wrong, part of your kindness towards them is to overlook that shortcoming and be able to move past it and not bring too much attention to it. فَحَثَّ النَّبِيُّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ عَلَى التَّجَاوُزِ عَمَّنْ وَقَعَ فِي هَفْوَةٍ مِنْ ذَوِي الْهَيْئَاتِ مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ لأنه كما قيل لكل جواد كبوة ولكل عالم هفوة ولكل صارم كما قال الشاعر ومن ذا الذي ترضى سجاياه كلها كفى المرأة نبلا أن تعد معايبه. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم encouraged us to overlook some of these faults, and there is a proverb in Arabic that says every stallion trips. Every stallion will trip once, will have a stumble. And every expert or scholar in their field will have a mistake, will have a misjudgment here or there. Al-kamal lillah. Perfection and completion belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. Everything in the creation has some level of imperfection. Why? Because they are less than the Creator. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said in a hadith, عن عائشة رضي الله عنها قالت قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أقيل ذوي الهيئات عثراتهم إلا الحدود. رواه أبو داود. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said in a hadith that Aisha narrates to us, which is recorded in the book of Abu Dawood, and the scholars said it is authentic. The Prophet said, أقيل. Aqilu is a verb in Arabic which means to overlook, to cover. Ay u'fu. Forgive and conceal. Dhawil hay'at, meaning people of position, people of status, people of authority. عثراتهم, their زلات, their slips, their mistakes. What kinds of mistakes are we talking about? We're talking about minor mistakes. How do we know? Because the Prophet said, إِلَّا الْحُدُودِ, except mistakes that necessitate some type of official punishment. So it's not like somebody commits a major crime and then we say, oh, just overlook the mistake. No. A crime has to be held, a criminal must be held accountable for their crime if in fact they are the perpetrator. But we're talking about mistakes. We're talking about smaller mistakes that don't have that big of an impact or not harming anyone. أَقِيلُ ذَوِي الْهَيْئَاتِ عَثَرَاتِهِمْ قَالَ ابْنُ الْقَيِّمْ أَظَّاهِرُ أَنَّهُ ذَوُ الْأَقْدَارِ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ مِنَ الْجَاهِ وَالشَّرَفِ وَالسُّؤْدَدِ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى خَصَّهُمْ بِنَوْعِ تَكْرِيمٍ وَتَفْضِيلٍ فَمَنْ كَانَ مِنْهُمْ مَسْتُورًا مَشْهُورًا بِالْخَيْرِ فلا نسارع إلى تأنيبه وعقوبته بل تقال عثرته ما لم يكن حدا من حدود الله. Ibn al-Qayyim comments on this and he says, what is apparent of the meaning, the Prophet ﷺ is referring to people of status, people of nobility, people that their reputation is one of goodness amongst the believers, amongst the Muslim community. So when they do commit a minor mistake, then we overlook that and we don't hasten to punish them, we don't hasten to expose them. Except for hudud, except for mistakes that necessitate some type of punishment. A mistake that is a violation of some law. And what's referred to here is the laws of Sharia, if we are in a situation where the laws of Sharia are being applied. And the ulama say that extends to any laws that a person is bound by. Any laws that a person is bound by, or any rules. They could be in any type of organization or any type of community where people agree upon a certain set of laws or rules, then they are binding. And that is part of the Sharia. عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه, let's look at some examples of this. عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه أن سعد بن عبادة قال يا رسول الله أرأيت الرجل يجد مع امرأته رجلا أيقتله. أبو هريرة narrates that the companion سعد بن عبادة, you know, the companions are sitting with the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, they're having a conversation, they're just thinking of something that comes on their mind, a hypothetical scenario. So they ask the Prophet ﷺ. So this companion, Sa'd ibn Ubadah, he was baffled by something. He said, O Messenger of Allah, imagine if a man were to come and find with his spouse another man. Should he rush and kill that other man? This is something he's thinking about. The Prophet ﷺ, فَقَالَ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ لَا. The Prophet ﷺ said, no, you shouldn't kill him. I mean, that's a very serious situation. But you shouldn't kill him. There are other ways of holding this person to account. قال سعد بلى والذي أكرمك بالحق. So Sa'd responded and he said, no, most definitely I would. And he took an oath. He said, most definitely, and I swear by the one who has honored you with the truth. If that was me, I'd kill him. And this is Sa'd. He had so much, as we say in Arabic, ghira, or chivalry. He can't fathom himself being in that hypothetical scenario. May Allah protect us. Being in that scenario and not going to jump and kill this person. فَقَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ اسْمَعُوا إِلَى مَا يَقُولُ سَيِّدُكُمْ. The Prophet ﷺ didn't rebuke him. He said to the other companions that were sitting there from the Ansar, he said, listen to what the noble one amongst you is saying. Sa'd ibn Ubadah was Sayyidu al-Ansar. He was one of the chieftains of the community of the Ansar. وفي رواية لمسلم قال سعد بن عبادة يا رسول الله لو وجدت مع أهلي رجلا لم أمسه حتى آتي بأربعة لم أمسه حتى آتي بأربعة شهداء. فقال رسول صلى الله عليه وسلم نعم. قال كلا والذي بعثك بالحق إن كنت لأعاجله بالسيف قبل ذلك. In the narration of Muslim, the wording is a little bit different, that Sa'd, perhaps there was a discussion of the rules that Allah mentions in Surah An-Nur. In the beginning of Surah An-Nur, Allah talks about when to hold someone accountable for adultery, for a zina. And Allah says that you have to have arba'ati shuhada, that you have to have four witnesses. So Sa'd says, O Messenger of Allah, if I find someone with my spouse, I really have to go and get four witnesses and make them witness that situation so that they can testify? The Prophet ﷺ said, yes, you have to acquire four witnesses. So Sa'd said, kalla. He said, absolutely not. He said, I swear by the one that sent you with the truth, I would hasten to him with my sword and kill him before I would need to think about the four witnesses. And he was so zealous about that situation. فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم اسمعوا إلى ما يقول سيدكم إنه لغيور وأنا أغير منه والله أغير مني. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said to the Sahaba, listen to what the noble one amongst you is saying. He has so much chivalry, so much protective feelings for his honor and the chastity of his family, and I have more of that than him, and Allah has more of that than me. So the Prophet ﷺ, you see how he, in the most gentle of manners, flipped the script on him? And the Prophet dealt with him very gently. Even though, if you zoom out and you analyze this dialogue, that's pretty bold for someone to ask the Prophet ﷺ a question about the rules of Allah and then to come and say, no, I would do something differently. That's quite a bold stance in front of the Messenger of Allah. But that's not something that Sa'd was doing maliciously or out of disrespect. It was a moment of a lot of emotion. And Sa'd was someone who was known for his nobility and his honor and his goodness in Islam. So the Prophet ﷺ handled and corrected him in a gentle manner that did not expose him. How dare you say this when we... He didn't handle the situation like that. Why? Because of the status that Sa'd ibn Ubadah had amongst the Ansar and amongst the Sahaba in general. So here we saw an example of how the Prophet ﷺ handled that. We mentioned actually more than once in a couple of different chapters the same narration where Abu Bakr and Umar had an intense argument. Do you guys remember that? We mentioned it more than once. Abu Bakr and Umar had a very intense argument until Abu Bakr angered Umar so much that Umar left and went home and slammed the door in Abu Bakr's face. And Abu Bakr was asking him, please forgive me, please forgive me. And Umar was like, I'm not having it right now, leave me alone. And so Abu Bakr went to the masjid and he sat with the Prophet ﷺ and he was clearly bothered. And later when Umar calmed down, he came to the masjid and the Prophet ﷺ defended Abu Bakr. And he said, يَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لَكَ يَا أَبَا بَكْرُ يَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لَكَ يَا أَبَا بَكْرُ. He said, may Allah forgive you, Abu Bakr. And then he said to the Sahaba, do not harm my companion. Even though he was the one that angered Umar, but once the emotions calmed down, he overlooked that mistake because of the status and the track record that Abu Bakr had in the community. Radiallahu anhum jami'an. وَكَانَ يُكْرِمُهُمْ وَيَأْمُرُ أَصْحَابَهُ بِذَلِكَ. And he would also do ikram. He would honor them when they would come to his presence. عن جابر بن عبد الله رضي الله عنهما قال دخل جرير بن عبد الله البجلي وكان سيد قومه رضي الله عنه على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وعنده أصحابه فظن الناس بمجالسهم فلم يوسع له أحد فأخذ رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم رداءه فألقاه إليه وقال اجلس عليها فتلقاه جرير بنحره ووجهه فقبله ووضعه على عينيه وقال أكرمك الله كما أكرمتني. ثم وضعه على ظهر رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: من كان يؤمن بالله واليوم الآخر فإذا أتاه كريم قوم فليكرمه. وعن ابن عمر قال: قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: إذا أتاكم كريم قوم فأكرموه. رواه ابن ماجه وحسنه العلماء. In this narration, Jabir ibn Abdullah, may Allah be pleased with both of them, narrates that a man by the name of Jarir ibn Abdullah al-Bajali, he came in, وَكَانَ سَيِّدُ قَوْمِهِ, and he was a noble man amongst his family and amongst his tribe. So he came and he entered upon the gathering of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the people, perhaps they did not know him, or perhaps they didn't recognize him, or perhaps for some reason or another, they were not very excited to see him come and join the gathering. So people basically crowded together and no one made space for him to sit. The Prophet ﷺ is sitting with a group of the Sahaba, and this man came in, and the Sahaba, they all huddled together. They did not make space for him to sit. So the Prophet ﷺ, how did he handle that situation? He took off his overgarment, his rida. It's like a shawl or like a coat or something like that. He took it off and he passed it to this man. And he said, اجلس عليها. He said, put it down on the ground and sit on it. Which shows so much respect and honoring. It's like someone takes off their own clothing and puts it on the ground as a mat. So the man picked it up and he kissed it. And he rubbed his face with it. And he said, may Allah honor you the way you have honored me. And he put it back on the shoulders of the Prophet ﷺ. And then the Prophet ﷺ said to the Sahaba, he said, whoever believes in Allah and the last day, when a generous, when an honorable and a noble person from amongst their people comes upon you, then do ikram, then honor them and host them with kindness. إِذَا أَتَاكُمْ كَرِيمُ قَوْمٍ فَأَكْرِمُهُ. When the honorable, when someone who's known for nobility and generosity comes, then do ikram, be generous and honor them. Even though they may not necessarily be honorable in your ranks, but they're coming from a tribe or a community or a family or a place where they are considered noble and honored. Preserve for them that status and honor them. And this was the kindness and the mercy of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. وَكَانَ يُحْسِنُ إِلَيْهِمْ حَتَّى وَإِنْ كَانُوا فِي الْأَسْرِ حِفْظًا لِمَكَانَتِهِمْ وَطَمَعًا فِي إِسْلَامِهِمْ. Now the kindness and the mercy and the generosity of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to people of nobility specifically, because that's our chapter, extended even towards prisoners, even to those that were in prison, that were in bondage, incarcerated, which is a far cry from the way people that are incarcerated now are treated. It's a big, big night and day difference. And the Prophet ﷺ would do this even if they were non-Muslims, especially if they were non-Muslims, hoping and seeking that through this kindness that they would accept Islam and adopt Islam as their way of life. So here we have actually quite a lengthy narration. بسم الله. عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال بعث رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم خيلا قبل نجد فجاءت برجل من بني حنيفة لا يشعرون من هو حتى أتوا به رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال أتدرون من أخذتم؟ هذا ثمامة بن أثال الحنفي وكان سيد أهل اليمامة أحسنوا إساره فربطوه بسارية من سواري المسجد. ورجع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إلى أهله فقال اجمعوا ما كان عندكم من طعام فبعثوا به إليه. وأمر بالناقة ذات اللبن أن يغدى عليه ويراح فجعل لا يقع من ثمامة موقعا. طيب, this is a narration. It begins here on the authority of Abu Huraira. He says that the Prophet ﷺ sent a reconnaissance mission, if you will, a group of Sahaba on a reconnaissance mission to a place known as Al-Yamama, which is east, slightly northeast of Medina, before a region known as Najd, which is in the center of the Arabian Peninsula. They returned with someone that they had captured, and they didn't even know who it was exactly. So when they returned back to Medina, the Prophet ﷺ was baffled by this. He said, "Do you know who it is that you've brought?" They said, "No." He said, "This is Thumama ibn Uthal." This is a person by the name of Thumama. He is the noblest man, the chieftain, the leader of his tribe in Al-Yamama, in that area. So the Prophet ﷺ said, "Be kind to him and be generous to him and be merciful as you hold him in captivity." So they tied him to one of the posts inside the masjid, which is a clean and protected place. They didn't throw him, you know, somewhere that's dirty or forgotten, you know, or in solitude or solitary confinement, which has major psychological and emotional ramifications. They kept him in the masjid, the most populated, the busiest, most bustling, active place in that community, the masjid. There's 5 times salah, there's people learning, there's people studying, there's some people living there, Ahlul Suffa, there's people coming with sadaqah, there's people coming for questions, the Prophet lives right there, the sahaba. Yani it's like, if you want to be held anywhere, you want to be held there. That's like a prime location. So they tied him to one of the pillars in the masjid of the Prophet ﷺ. And the Prophet ﷺ went back to his household and he told his family, "Gather whatever you have from some food and send it to Thumama." And then he also ordered the Sahaba to get a camel that is, the udder of the camel is heavy with milk, meaning it's ready to be milked. And he said, "And keep this camel close by to Thumama, going back and forth." Meaning whenever he is thirsty, whenever he wants to drink, it's there ready, available for him. He's not going to go hungry or thirsty. Not only that, it's like high quality food and drink as well. فَخَرَجَ إِلَيْهِ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمَ فَقَالَ مَاذَا عِنْدَكَ يَا ثُمَامَ. So the Prophet ﷺ came to him and said, "What do you have to say, O Thumama? What's up? What do you got going on?" فَقَالَ عِنْدِي يَا مُحَمَّدْ خَيْرٌ إن تقتل تقتل ذا دم وإن تنعم وإن تنعم تنعم على شاكر وإن كنت تريد المال فسل تعطى منه ما شئت. He said, "Oh Muhammad, all I have is good. If you want to kill someone, then you are going to kill someone that you know, their blood will not be forgotten. If you want to be kind and generous, then you will find that I am very grateful. And if it is wealth that you are seeking, then ask from whatever it is that you wish and you will be given." فتركه رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم حتى كان بعد الغد فقال ما عندك يا ثمامة فأعاد عليه مقالته. So the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he left him be. And then he came to him the next day and he asked him the same question, and ثمامة responded with the same answer again. فتركه رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم حتى عاد من الغد فقال له كما قال له في اليوم الأول فأعاد عليه ثمامة مقالته. فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أطلقوا ثمامة. So the Prophet left him and then he came back the third day and he asked him again, "Anything new? What do you have to say?" And he said the same thing that he said the first day. And so the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, "Okay." And he left him. And then after that third day, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, "You know what? Release him. Let him go. Let him be free." فانطلق إلى نخل قريب من المسجد فاغتسل ثم دخل المسجد فقال أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا محمد والله ما كان على الأرض وجه أبغض إلي من وجهك فقد أصبح وجهك أحب الوجوه إلي والله ما كان من دين أبغض إلي من دينك فأصبح دينك أحب الدين إلي والله ما كان من بلد أبغض إلي من بلدك فأصبح بلدك أحب البلاد إلي وإني he said, O Muhammad, so when the Prophet ﷺ had him released, he left and he went behind a cluster of palm trees behind the masjid. He found some water and he took a bath. He washed himself and then he came back to the masjid and he accepted Islam. And he testified that there is no one worthy to be worshipped except Allah alone and that Muhammad is his messenger. And he said, O Muhammad, I swear by Allah, there was no face on this earth that was more hated, despised to me than your face, and now your face is the most beloved of faces to me. I swear by Allah, there was no religion that I hated more than your religion, and now it is the most beloved of religions to me. I swear by Allah, there was no land or civilization or community that was more hated to me than yours when I used to hear about it, and now it is the most beloved to me. Then he asked the Prophet ﷺ to take him with him. Where? He said, وَأَنَا أُرِيدُ الْعُمْرَةِ فَمَاذَا تَرَى. He said, I want to go make umrah. I want to go make the minor pilgrimage. So what do you think? فَبَشَّرَهُ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ وَأَمَرَهُ أَنْ يَعْتَمِرَ. فَلَمَّا قَدِمَ مَكَّةَ قَالَ لَهُ قَائِلٌ صَبَوْتَ؟ قَالَ لَا وَلَكِنْ أَسْلَمْتُ مَعَ مُحَمَّدٍ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. ولا والله لا يأتيكم من اليمامة حبة حنطة حتى يأذن فيها النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. So the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, you know, this is awesome. Go ahead. Go make Umrah. So he went to go make Umrah and he went to Mecca. And Mecca was still dominated by the mushrikeen, by the pagan civilization. And they recognized him. They recognized him that this is so-and-so from al-Yamama, from that nearby community. So when they came to him, the word spread that he was around, they came to him and they said, Sabot. They used this derogatory term which they used to refer to people that accepted Islam. And he said, no, aslamt. I have become Muslim. I have submitted. Because Islam means submission. Ma'a Muhammad, with the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the Messenger of Allah. And then he said, I swear by Allah, you will not get the tiniest of grain from Al-Yamama until the Prophet ﷺ gives permission. His community was an exporter of grain. And the people of Mecca used to import this grain from Al-Yamama. And he's in charge of that community. And now he is Muslim. So he is, by extension, in charge of that economy. So when they came to him with this attitude of, you know, how could you, you know, lower yourself to the point where you follow that religion? He said, no, rather I have submitted with Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to the will of Allah. Oh, and by the way, you remember those grains you guys get? You won't get one grain until the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gives me permission to release it and export it to you. Sanctions. Wallahi sah. Min fawaid al-hadith. There are so many benefits we can extract from this hadith. Amongst them is al-ightisal. Fadl al-ightisal. The virtue of making ghusl, of washing. And the ulama said, especially when a person wants to become Muslim, take a bath. Cleanse yourself. In Islam, cleansing and cleanliness is important, not just physically, but internally as well. And so that bath that a person takes achieves both. It is physically washing and cleaning the body, and it is also an act of ibadah, which is cleansing of a person's sins and earns them reward. So ghusl is something encouraged to do. When a person wants to accept Islam, they're encouraged to make ghusl. When a person wants to go for Salatul Jumu'ah, make ghusl, etc. And these different times, even the ulama said, when a person wants to be in hilaqul dhikr, in a gathering of dhikr, Imam Malik used to make ghusl and wear new clothes and put some cologne on before he would go to the lesson, before he would go to the halaqah. And when asked about that, he said, we are going to be reciting the words of Allah and the words of our messenger. So ghusl is something virtuous. It's good for a believer to always stay in a state of cleanliness. We also see how the Prophet ﷺ, even though this was someone that was captured on a military mission, on a reconnaissance mission, he was still honored. He was still dealt with generosity. And so much so that he ended up, as soon as he was released, he came back as a Muslim. He came back as a Muslim. And that shows you the wisdom and the strategy of the Prophet ﷺ to put him in that environment where he would be surrounded by salah, Quran, adhan, and the good behavior of the Muslims coming to that masjid. Which is very interesting, because nowadays some people say they come to the masjid and they are turned away because of how people treat them in the masjid. So that's a problem, right? So alhamdulillah, we will make sure that we don't have that in our masjid, inshallah. Agreed? Inshallah. And if the Prophet ﷺ could be so merciful and generous to a disbeliever who is imprisoned, then I'm sure we can have some level of generosity and mercy to someone who comes as a free person, not as a prisoner. Is that not the case? Inshallah. Jazakum Allah khairan. And alhamdulillah, by the way, I would like to stroke your egos a little bit. Alhamdulillah, this masjid has started to develop a good reputation of being very open and welcoming. And I've heard that from individuals myself. They said, I like to come here, I don't like to go to another masjid. And we don't want to turn anyone away from any masjid. There's no competition here. But I just want to give credit where credit is due to all of you regular attendees, that people are feeling the difference. It is actually having an impact. People are actually noticing that, you know what, there's something special there. When I go there, I feel welcomed. People smile. People say salam. People ask me if there's anything that I need. People don't shun me away. They don't ask me too many questions. They don't make me feel uncomfortable. So that's a good reputation to have. So on one hand, we want to extend that appreciation to all of you. And on the other hand, let us work together to continue that and grow it, inshallah ta'ala, even more. Because this is not my house, and it's not yours. It's Allah's house. وَكَانَ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ لَا يَرُدَّهُمْ عَنْ لِقَائِهِ. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم also would never turn them away from a meeting. When they would come to want to meet with the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he wouldn't turn them away. عن جرير رضي الله عنه قال ما حجبني النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم منذ أسلمت ولا رآني إلا تبسم في وجهي ولقد شكوت إليه أني لا أثبت على الخيل فضرب بيده على صدري وقال اللهم ثبته واجعله هاديا مهديا. This is recorded in Bukhari and Muslim. جرير رضي الله عنه, and we mentioned his name before, that he was Sayyidu Qawmihi, that he was a person of nobility amongst his tribe. He said, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam never, ma hajabani, he never shunned me or turned away from me from the day I became Muslim. He always gave me his attention and made himself available for me. He said, and he never saw me except that he smiled to me in my face. And he said, one day I complained to him. And I said, O Messenger of Allah, I can't keep my balance on my horse. He had a problem keeping his balance. He would always fall off of his animal. So the Prophet ﷺ gave him a warm pat on his chest. ضرب بيده على صدري. The Prophet ﷺ, which is a very gentle, very fatherly gesture, he patted him on his chest as he made dua, and he said, oh Allah, keep him steadfast in general, not just on his horse, in general. on his horse, on his feet, in his deen, in his mental state, in his emotional state. Keep him stable. Stability is one of the most important things. A person could be financially stable, but if they're not emotionally stable, their life is a mess. They could be emotionally stable, they could be financially stable, but spiritually they're not stable. They can't stick on the deen. Their life will not be one of fulfillment. That's how it works. Stability is one of the best ni'mas, one of the best blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So let us seek stability even if it's with little. The Prophet ﷺ said, keep him steadfast and make him of those that are guided and those that guide others. Keep him of those that are guided and those that guide others. So the Prophet ﷺ made dua and was available presented himself to Jarir and to people of nobility with the utmost love and respect, gave them time and attention, respected their status and maintained it for them even after their Islam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us to follow the teachings of our beloved messenger. May Allah beautify us with his manners and his character. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to interact and deal with others the way the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam dealt with people. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to unite us with the beloved messenger in the highest levels of Jannah and grant us a drink from his hand, after which we will never experience thirst. Wa jazakum Allahu khairan. Anybody have any questions or comments or concerns or feelings? جزاكم الله خيرا. هذا وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. والله أعلم. والسلام عليكم.